May my words and my thoughts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my refuge and my redeemer. I am so grateful to be invited as a guest preacher by Dean Owens while he was away, pursuing reflection and renewal on sabbatical. And I am blessed to be serving with my longtime friend, Eric, today. Thank you for inviting me into your Sunday morning. As a deacon in the church, a person in a role or an order of the church, if you will, my vow is one to servant ministry and has me and all deacons particularly focused on the poor, the weak, the sick, and the lonely. People ask me, what parish are you from? And right now I'm not from a parish. I have a sliver of time that puts me on the bishop's staff, and so I serve all the deacons in all the parishes, and I don't often know where I'll be on Sunday until it's about coming up. But by luck or by design, this Sunday collect reminds us that we have been taught to keep God's commandment by loving God and loving our neighbor, which works for me. And as the Diocese of Ohio has added, when we love God and love our neighbor, we change the world. So we will explore about loving God and your neighbor and changing the world. And let's start by talking about vacation, shall we? I mean, this weekend is around the crescendo of summer, isn't it? Feels like it. If we have not gone on vacation, we're counting down to it. And if we're not counting down, we are longing for a break of some kind. And so I ask, what does one want from a vacation? What does one get from it? Is it to explore new places and try new things? To escape the mundane or overwhelm of a daily, turn weekly, turn monthly slog in life? Is it to celebrate a positive mark in your life, to reminisce or reunite with classmates or longtime friends or family? Is it to celebrate a new relationship? I suppose looking at all of those possibilities, vacations are things we have designated for deepening connections. Connections with one another, connections with ourself, and connections with the world around, with creation. And ultimately, they are experiences that can help you deepen your connection to God. I think, growing up, I looked forward to vacations for the first item on that list, to see new places and try new things. Of course, at that time, most of the wonders of the world were new to me as my family set out. We explored the beach and its sunrises that start in darkness. The tides and the surf and a casual restaurant dinner made of the fresh catch from the North Atlantic. We also drove on most of those family vacations, and visited historical sites and cities and wended our way through expansive fields and farms. We were told how corn should be knee-high by the 4th of July, which meant to me it was another month before we'd be enjoying any corn that people set out at the stands for vegetables at the end of their driveway and their home on the farm. Those unattended vegetable stands also, by the way, taught us about the honor system. Now, when I look back with 50-year goggles, I can say that I got something out of those vacations. They deepened my relationship with God in the wonder of creation as I witnessed the ocean's ability to foster life, cleanse death, and keep time in concert with the Earth's orbit and that of the moon. I met God as I discovered the oceans and the land's capacity to provide and replenish. Life became much bigger, and it had a design much bigger than just me in mind. So big, in fact, that scientists dedicated years and years to figuring out only some of how our habitat works. And yet, somehow I fit in. I belonged, and I am a part of some larger design. God loved me, and I love God for it. It doesn't take a vacation, by the way, or even a staycation to encounter God. Just reflection and prayer, the intention, a habit of reflecting on my life experiences has deepened my spiritual life, and I recommend the practice to you. The bishop, who is also a trainer for the College for Congregational Development, has suggested using an exploratory question for yourself or for people around you in conversation. Where have you seen God at work in your life or in our community? Or simply, what's stirring in you as you hear that story or think about that moment or experience that thing? I'll add more. Have you been detected in a transgression and received restoration, as the Galatians passage suggests? Of course, everybody's human is the point of that one. So what is your Psalm 30? What is your praise for God? In some quiet moments, use questions like that to guide yourself towards contemplation about how God is active in your life. Start a conversation with someone else from church. Dare to offer prayers for a church friend, and dare to ask for prayers for your actual life as a way to invite God in. This active dialogue invites God into your life and relationships, and it's what you have to share. Love your neighbor, chapter 2. For this, we'll look at the Gospel of Luke. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in that house, eating and drinking whatever they provide. In this 10th chapter of Luke, 70 people are being sent out, not for a leisurely vacation for sure, but being sent out ahead of Jesus to prepare the way for him. They have an advantage over us because they had immediate experiences of Christ and his miracles. They saw him forgiving and healing people in the most surprising circumstances. Although there is no verse that describes their sense of motivation to be sent out, I'm going to venture a guess that they were pumped up and ready to tell the story of how God is acting in real life, because he was in their midst and he was on his way. Their enthusiasm was so high, I believe, as Jesus decided to warn them not to boast, but to exercise humility. He appeals to their cautious side, saying, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Be humble. Try and act normal. Don't attract attention. Do your best to fit in. Relate to people. Connect with them. Offer them peace, and if they offer you peace in return, stick with those people. Heal their sick, which they could do. Tell them the kingdom of God is near. Today, being sent out is as simple as going to the places that you do. To work, to school, to the park, to the coffee shop. Simply be present and aware of God in your life as you go about your business. You are going in positions of society. You are going to places around the state of Ohio, and collectively all over the world. You are collectively motivated and resilient witnesses to God's goodness, grace, and blessing. You are, I'd say, more than a drop, but a cup or a quart of water in the ocean. You may be unaware of the pattern around you, but you are placed there, and you are part of the orbit. You are helping keep time. You are part of the replenishment in the stirring of movement that heals. Do you recall the reading from the Old Testament about the healing of Naaman from leprosy? I hope so, because this is going to be the quickest Reader's Digest version you've ever heard. He's a very powerful man, the leader of the Aramean military. Well, someone told someone about the prophet Elisha in the other kingdom of Israel. And to shorten the story, he left his country, sought out the prophet from the other country, was healed in what might be considered enemy territory, or certainly on the dividing line in the River Jordan. But my point is not about Naaman or Elisha, the prophet, or even the miraculous healing. It is about the nameless somebody that was taken out of their context and placed into a situation where she knew and served somebody else. The Israelite servant girl of Naaman's wife, servant of Naaman's wife, I believe, is the hero of the Old Testament story today. She was involuntarily exiled, yet she knew her experiences from her homeland. She knew God. And she had no particular standing in the context in which she was now placed. And she decided to share something she experienced of God to her commander Naaman's wife, and God did the rest. The servants that convinced Naaman to do, we are all sent like that servant to point out what we know to be right, to put the situation in God's hand and move on, to remain unrecognized, perhaps anonymous, as in the story. So too with the servants that convinced Naaman to do what is necessary for a miracle to take place. He was in his chariot, getting a little arrogant, asking, I think, for a drive-through miracle. Didn't want to get out. And the servant said, how hard is it? You've come all this way. How hard is it for you to make a decision that could enable a miracle to happen? How hard is it, they said, to a powerful man? Yes, we are replenished in this place, and we are sent out like unnamed servants to tell how we have experienced the good in our lives, how we have experienced God in our lives. We just need to tell somebody and trust that God will take it from there. I also notice what Jesus did not ask the 70 to do on his behalf. He did not send them with clipboards and petitions. He was not seeking political power. He was not leading the call to overthrow a king. He also did not sell raffle tickets, and he did not pass out QR codes, because he was not raising money to improve the kingdom of God. Money and political power are human creations and reflections of human power. His appointed went out unarmed in the strengths of the world, that is, with no money and no status. Off they went like sheeps, unable to compete against the worldly power, or wolves, as it says. It seems to me like these instructions are all about connecting with people far and wide, outside of your comfort zone. No drive-through miracles here. To share God's presence and God's blessing, and to do it with humility. there may very well be a time when your faith or your work or your worldly connections or your position or your knowledge and relationship with people that are in need that may lead you to advocate politically and oppose injustice and even raise money with a QR code. How much better, though, how much more of an impact can we have as advocates in any forum when we have spent the time to relate with the people with whom we may disagree? To advocate and not demonize, to connect, that takes practice. It is an exercise, a live action embodiment of the belief that God loves all people, no exceptions. And that is the lesson behind the lesson today, that God is present even in the neighborhoods and the countrysides and the people we have been taught to fear or despise. And we are sent out to connect with them. We may not get it right at first, which is why I like this last part. Whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go into its streets and say, "Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is near." You see, Jesus, just one chapter earlier, had just sent people out also before him to let people know he was coming. But in that last time, the disciples recognized this Samaritan village was not welcoming Jesus, and they didn't get it. They asked if they could destroy the town that didn't welcome them with pillars of fire, but Jesus rebuked them. So that's maybe why he added a little extra instruction with a script describing how to be a little gentler by dusting off your feet when not welcome. Don't use your own power. Don't flex. Just move on. Yet do not forget to share the main message. The kingdom of God has come near to you. Or God loves you, no exceptions. It is the dismissal that sends us all out. It's the last word of the liturgy. And as a deacon, we're on the position of our faith and the expression of the world. So whenever there's a deacon, they are do that dismissal. Imagine how the world might be changed starting today if we accept the charge of that dismissal to go in peace and love and serve the Lord. And then we went out ready to befriend the stranger without judgment and greet people as equals, perhaps especially people that we might have previously misunderstood or instinctively opposed. How could we still allow ourselves to have enemies? And who could become our closest friends? Christ sends us out to heal with the hurting and mend social divides, placing the least considered at the center of our attention. He asks us to grow compassion by sharing it and granting peace for all who will accept it. We go out in peace to change the world. Lord Jesus, who sends us out in pairs to prepare the way of the Lord, be with us on our way, that we may know you in the scriptures, in the breaking of the bread, and in the hearts of all whom we meet. Amen.